Harry and Lloyd have helped me prep the studio this morning. I see he is wearing the official Trump team regalia today.
I mean, I'm not wearing Patriot stuff.
Did you not see any of that shit I was sending you that was like your team visiting the White House?
Well, I told you that guy that you sent me specifically did never touch the field.
Right. He also was tweeting 5 years ago about how he was tweeting about politics 5 years ago about how we all need to come together and like be anti-racist, right?
Sure.
And then someone did like the smash cut of 2020 and then 2025, and he's like, "I golf with everybody. I golfed with Obama last year. I'm gonna golf with Trump this year." Yeah.
Everyone needs the right-wing content grift, even if you're a football player.
What's going on?
You are witnessing a front three-quarter view of two adults sharing a tender moment.
Let's kick his ass. My main goal is to blow up and then act like I don't know nobody. Let's kick his
ass. How you people doing out there? All right, party.
You look like you need a hug. You're not gonna get one from me. And run his pockets,
yeah. See? I just can't stand Carl Brownshaw! Don't tell me to calm down!
Oh yeah, let's kick his ass.
Terrorist propaganda! Mao Zedong would have loved you!
I'ma stab and put a lemon in the gash.
Pokemon go to the polls!
Let's hook him up to jumper cables, hit the gas.
I'm just unabashedly and unashamedly broadcasting my obsession on the internet.
Sorry, Link. I can't give credit. Come back when you're a little richer.
Okay. You know that I told that I don't want to stay on parade, but I fucking want to stay on parade. This is the best.
Do you want to jump right into it, or do you need to warm up?
No, I'm good.
Considering you didn't give me much beforehand, I was like, Cameron might just be ready to go.
I don't have, like, you know, topics or anything. Just it's been 2-3 weeks.
So, yeah.
You know.
We didn't get to, because I haven't mentioned it yet. I just did, like, sound tests. But
right.
We went to the Raw before fucking Mania.
Yeah.
But I lost my voice.
Yeah.
So we couldn't really do a post show.
And then after that, you got sick from traveling.
And then I was sick, so we couldn't even get together for Mania itself.
Post-Mania.
Yeah. Mania, and post. There's just a lot of, excitement. Wrestle boners happening, and I didn't get any of the aftercare, unfortunately.
I know, and then I immediately moved on to playoffs. I've done 2 NBA pods with Clink.
I've seen that. I haven't listened to either of them. I will probably listen once we get to the conference finals, because okay. That's where my interest actually lies, where it's like, okay, here's the top 4 teams.
Right.
When I heard that, because I was re-listening to our previous pod, and we were talking about, if you want to tell the audience, maybe you already did it on your winning time tapes with Grink, of how Mr. Jacob was not able to.
Yes.
Was not able to get it together. You guys weren't able to sync up or whatever.
Yeah. You know, it's similar to, except on a like different end of the spectrum with our friend Eric, where just schedule's not lining up. Jacob is, you know, criminally normal. Eric is criminally out there.
He's just chilling, bro.
He's chilling, but also just impossible to reach, it seems.
You have to, this is what's fun about having a lot of friends with different neurodivergent traits, is you have to find different ways of communicating.
Yeah.
Which is one of the things that, like, you and I first were missing on a lot, because you and your brother, clearly, because you've known each other your entire lives, have a very distinct way of communicating. Like, when we first started this podcast, I made a Discord server.
Yeah.
I was like, here's our group chat, guys, and you're like, I don't know. No. And I tried to do it via a text group chat, and you're like, no. We even have a group chat with you, I, and Eric, and you will text me directly still about podcast stuff instead of posting it in there.
Well, because the thing is, I'll text something, and it'll be met with, haha, retard, and then let's talk about each other's asses. So
that's how we work.
That's how you and Eric work.
Yeah, this morning. Well, have you seen the, has he shown you the photos of when he went and got his colon, pictures of his colon? He's got one of the cleanest buttholes in Sacramento County.
No, he's not sent me that.
It's incredible. He had to do like I actually like this more that we just talk about him without him being here.
Yeah.
He'll be on the podcast next week for sure. We just failed to do, again, any pre-production like Sunday, Monday and coordinate. But what is this thing?
Colonoscopy?
Yeah, but his like, I'm trying to remember what his, ulcerative colitis.
Mm.
So, you know, his intestines are a mess.
Yeah.
So he had to do a fast and, you know, what's the thing? Where you take like a diuretic where you just like poop everything out.
Oh,
laxative. Yeah. Laxative. And so he had the photos. He had just come back from the doctor. He's like, you should see this. And I was like, okay. And it's because, you know, normally when you see an intestine, there are bits and pieces and stuff. And it's just pristine. It's like porn star pristine douche level of like. So that's what I was implying this morning in our group chat.
Right.
Of me getting in his ass. Anyways.
Yeah.
Welcome to Chaotic Pussy.
Yeah, I've been reading.
It's April 30th, 2025. Officially 3 weeks, because it was April 9th was the last time we recorded. So it has been 3 weeks up to the day from the last time we recorded.
Yeah. This is probably going up May 2nd, Friday. Okay. So besides normal school stuff, I've been listening to an audiobook that, as you mentioned, wanting to get into someone's ass. This is basically the frustrations of one man being denied being in another man.
Yeah. What's the book?
John Lennon and Paul McCartney.
Okay.
Yeah. One of my seven Dragon Balls of autism, as you called it, is Beatles.
Yes. Yes. Which is not a bad Dragon Ball to have.
Right.
Yeah.
And I just, I obviously have known the story, but I liked reading how this guy wrote about it and this different lens of just looking at it through only Lennon and McCartney's their relationship and interpersonalness, because it was very intimate and he definitely wrote on purpose a lot of gay undertones.
Yeah.
Because there pretty much was there.
I think I've talked about this with other friends before, but like I think any, not even just in like creative partnerships, but just friendships, the best friendships are a little gay.
Yeah.
And even if you are not someone that identifies as queer or gay yourself, my best male friendships with my straightest quote unquote friends, there is constant flirtation.
Sure, yeah.
In a I'm gonna make out with you. And when I was 12 years old, it was I'm gonna, you know, fuck your butt or whatever. Right. And also when I'm 36 years old, it's I'm gonna fuck your butt. But you change throughout, you know, the days. I think that's just a male bonding thing in general that I really enjoy. So I'm not surprised that Lennon and McCartney were also. There's never any documentation that they even smooched or anything, right? Did they ever kiss?
No. What they have done is they've jerked off in the same room.
Oh, I mean, well, that's normal.
Yeah.
Like, you spend that much time on the road together, I mean.
Yeah, and this was all pre-Beatles or pre-Beatlemania stuff in Germany. When they were kids, they would, like, be in circle jerks and John would, like, scream out Churchill or other names of men to, like, try to put off everyone else.
That fucking rules.
Yeah. My favorite thing in that line is that, so all of them had to like cram in the same room pretty much, and they would hear each other having sex, and George, who was like 16, I think 16 or 17, was having sex for the first time, and he thought everyone else went to sleep when he brought the girl in, and then after he finished, he then heard applause from John and Paul, which is an insane bit.
Dude, I mean, you gotta support the homies, you know?
Yeah.
That's like a real dorm room type experience.
Yeah.
I never got that. We were only in the dorms together, me and my boys, the first semester of school. And then we realized, oh, this is bullshit. We could be living in an apartment for like half as much.
Yeah.
Like the convenience of living on campus is not worth living, sharing a micro studio space with another 18-year-old boy.
Yeah.
I remember jerking off a lot. I don't think I ever had sex in there while they were in there, but we definitely were jerking off, and
right,
it was bunk beds.
So
you thankfully there was no, like, you know, you couldn't sense movement on the other side of the room. I had the bottom bunk as well, so there was probably times I would have to ask my buddy Ty if he ever heard me jerking off, because I was definitely popping off down there.
No, I was very fortunate my freshman year, and I got to be in a room alone.
Oh, nice.
All freshman year.
That's crazy.
I know, it was awesome.
So yeah, you've been. What's the name of the book? If anybody's curious,
John and Paul: A Love Story Through Songs. Because it also like breaks down all the songs and what it means to how they're relating to each other.
Oh, they're in like interpretation
but,
of it.
Yes, and also like the very technical stuff of what makes the songs, you know, critically well. But I figured you'd be interested in, you know, their interpersonal relationship.
Sure. I'll find the YouTube video essay that talks about it.
Sure, I'm listening it through via audiobook on Spotify.
Ah, is that, who, what's the author's name?
Ian Leslie.
Ian Leslie. Yeah, you texted me a week or two ago and said, hey, by the way, school's kicking my ass.
Yes.
No podcasting till May 1st. I was like, I think I was in, because last week I was depressed as fuck. So I think that's when you texted me. I was like, yeah, dude. I was like, oh yeah, sounds good.
I also figured you might be still sick.
Well, that was the thing is I went, so we had mania. I lost my voice. End of that week, I went and visited my parents for a long weekend down in Arizona. I was kind of fighting off an illness the entire time I was there, and I just chalked it up to like allergies or traveling or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But then I was literally that guy on the flight back.
Yeah, where
I was like sneezing and shit, and I was like, ah, fuck. And so I was actually sick in bed for like 2 to 3 days. And then by the time I recovered from that, you know, spending a few days in bed, the way my mental health works is like, oh, well, now you're just depressed.
Yeah, because you're not doing anything.
Yeah. And then I was like, I don't really want to go back to that fucking job working overnights. I don't feel physically well enough to do that, so I ended up quitting that job too. So I had a back to back to back of like, I'm just going through it, you know. So I'm a free man once again this week. It's been great.
I was gonna ask, are you looking forward or thinking about Maryhill for the summer?
If they'll have me,
okay.
Because I am looking for a summer job.
So here's the thing: I told our boss that I'm going to be very inconsistent throughout the summer.
Okay.
So if we could share just one bunk,
yeah,
and me and you sometimes are there together, sometimes one of us are there.
If they would hire me back, and it can be at like the starting wage, yeah. I mean, I don't know if this is interesting for the podcast, but I definitely.
I mean, it would be a lot of the people who work there have listened to this.
Okay,
yeah.
Yeah, I got. Yeah, I'm. It's definitely a thing that I thought about, but I was like, it's a little too soon to reach out.
Sure.
I left on good terms with everybody, of course, but I almost had the thought of like, well, I should give it 6 months,
mm-hmm.
just mostly for the parent company.
Yeah.
To like reset. Like, I don't know what their policy is on rehires or whatever, but.
Well, I know we had someone who's still there now who left and came back after like 4 or 6 months.
Yeah, but they have college degrees and stuff.
Sure,
and they're,
sure.
And they're much more amicable to authority than I am.
dude, actually to a crazy degree.
Yeah. I mean, I love everyone that still works there, of course. I actually opened this. Did you watch that fucking reel I sent you with The Dream? Talking to Ric Flair. It's a promo and he's like, it's captioned. It's an Instagram reel and it's like him saying when you need to tell off a coworker or something like that.
I want to make something perfectly clear. From now on, I don't want to see your ugly face. I don't want to be around you. I don't want to be anywhere where you're at. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to see you. I don't want to hear you talk. I don't want to do anything with it.
And this was the opposite of how you feel about Maryhill.
Yeah, no, I love everybody.
Yeah.
That was for you. I was sending it for you because that's how you, you know.
Oh, I see.
I actually got a text from one of our coworkers yesterday. It said, Cameron is so fucking funny.
That was.
And your comedic timing is just like impeccable, which is true. The fact that you walk in like in the middle, because you don't start until 3 p.m., right?
Yeah.
So it's like the whole school day has pretty much happened. You don't know what's going on or where people are at. And you come into the break room and there's usually some sort of shit going down. It's always pretty funny.
Yeah, there's always, when I clock in, there's someone in hushed tones while parents aren't around at the front office. Mm-hmm. And I immediately ask, what's up? And then that whole thing was just someone. So we're called B&A counselors, before and after school counselors.
Yeah.
And just one of the teachers found out that the friend who texted you is also leaving Maryhill.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, and all of my favorite B&As just like come so quick and leave so early. And I'm walking behind her. I'm saying like, then you must fucking hate me. and our boss was dying laughing as they heard that.
It's very funny. Yeah. So I quit that warehouse job. I don't know if I've even talked about that. I don't know if I'd even started that last time we recorded. It was maybe someone said, so one of my buddies said, oh, you did an any percent.
Yeah,
I think it might be the shortest amount of time I've started a job and then quit a job, to be honest. I only worked, I got 2 paychecks, so it was like 2 or 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah, in baseball, I call that a cup of coffee.
Yeah, yeah. 1-2 and a barbecue.
Yeah.
So I basically was just like, it was cool because it was a union gig, right? Yeah. So, like, that was really appealing. But working nights, especially part-time, is really hard because, like, I would be expected to maintain that third shift lifestyle on 3 to 4 days off.
Yeah.
Which is, like, really difficult just in general. So, and I'm not someone that I don't think will ever be able to work a true, like, 40-hour traditional work week. So,
yeah,
I'm going to go back to school. I actually have already, I've already filled out a FAFSA. I've already sent in my app to Sac City.
Nice.
I already got back on food stamps. I'm going to do an unemployment or something today. See if I can, get something there before that all dries up. Yeah, it's been.
Kennedy Jr. sends you out in a field somewhere.
Dude. They're fucking coming for us, bro.
I know.
I actually posted something to our Instagram today because there's an onion-like parody news page called The Hard Drive. Are you familiar?
No.
It's like gamer themed or like punk themed. Shit, what was it? It basically says something like RFK Jr. Announces plans to build camps for Sonic fans.
Yeah.
Or something along those lines. And I posted something and said, like, will you hide us? Do you remember when that was happening? Like, that was like it was like a response to like some anti-Semitism, quote unquote, where like liberals were saying, like, oh, we will protect you. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, but I could see. I was going to say, I wasn't there in the 40s when we thought being gay or retarded was, like, the worst thing you could be, and they just sent you off in the field and died. Which, speaking of which, I also was playing this game with Rebecca called The Root Trees Are Dead. So,
is this gay or retarded? Or both?
I guess gay.
Okay.
Where it's...
It sounds artsy and cool.
Yeah, it's about you're a detective looking through a family tree, and obviously, it's important... The family's only important because, it's a super rich guy who owns a company who has a trust for all their kids, but tried to X out one of their kids.
Ah.
And I could say more, or you could just play The Root Trees Are Dead on Steam for like $20.
Well, if we're doing a gaming block, is it a new release?
Came out this year.
I'll have to check it out. Yeah, the indie game stuff, which I love because it's the only time you get like good stories now in video games.
Yeah.
Because I'm not 12 years old. like there are still good stories, but like... Playing through God of War is not like the new ones where it's like talk. It's like basic bitch shit.
Listen, there's layers and layers on why Bowser steals Peach.
I was like, just a general media critique. I had a rant with a buddy a week or so ago about the show Severance.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm sure it's a great show, but like that's a show that people are watching it and like not even making the connection that like, oh yeah, I do feel alienated at work. It's almost like I'm a different person. It's like as media continues to speak more directly to capitalism, either naming it directly or, just talking about all the frustrations we have with it. I find that shit sometimes cringe. Sometimes it's great. It's a nice, like, release valve for people. But it's also, like, some anti-revolutionary shit on some point. It's like, oh, well, I can watch a show that talks about how my life sucks.
Right.
So I don't go and fucking shoot my boss.
Yeah.
With a Nerf gun.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that sounds sick. Roots, tree roots, what's it called?
The Root Trees Are Dead, because the family is called Root Tree.
The Root Trees Are Dead. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. And then the other thing is Grink has been trying to get me into, and I will, but again, school's kicking my ass. The show came out a long time ago, Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, trying to get into that, and that's...
Just so you can find a newfound hate for Lena Dunham.
So that's what... That's the reason why they Grink didn't watch it for a while.
Because he's on Twitter, so he understands.
Yeah. Yes, and, is a Nick Mullen disciple.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, actually, the writing's pretty funny.
Yeah, and it's also, I think it's important as penis havers to, to expose yourself to more queer and, or queer isn't, because you identify as straight, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking gay. You know how gay it is to be straight in 2025?
Why is that?
It's just gay. And derogatory.
how so?
If you know, you know.
All right. If I think, I could think about it.
it speaks to something. There's an idea of like sexuality as a spectrum. Like there's at least one man out there that you would suck his dick.
Dude, no, I've...
So then you're not straight.
So I mean, I haven't, you know, I haven't felt the desire long enough to kiss someone or,
I mean,
for sure, someone sexually. Yeah, yeah. So,
but there are men on this planet that if they were like, hey, you want to hook up? I'd be like, yeah, I'd do it just for the story, which means I don't think you have to, I don't think you have to be like attracted.
Sure, but I'm not there either.
All right.
I just, like, there are people I could look at that, like, you know, in shows Rebecca's watching or whatever, I'm like, yeah, that's a very attractive guy.
Drew McIntyre.
Sure. I don't share the exact same with Rebecca on that one.
I'd lick the sweat off his nipples.
I know you would. But there are, you know, times where I would be like, yeah. But it just hasn't really come up. And just, I don't know, really weirdly, since I was like 3 years old and my Grink had a best friend in kindergarten, and they had an older sister, and that's when I knew, like, or I felt for the first time attracted to somebody, and just from that on, like, I'm a straight person.
What attracted to you? You were in kindergarten?
No, I was three.
And you were attracted to an older woman?
I was attracted to
how the best old was friend.
She was like, you know, like nine.
What did the 9 year old? No, we don't need to.
I was three. She was nine.
What did? Okay, yeah. At 3 years old, we need to lay the groundwork. Yeah. At 3 years old, what did you find attractive about a 9 year old?
I think she just was engaged. I mean, yeah, but yeah. She was just engaging with me. Like, she would like do like, because I was three, she was doing very basic shit of peekaboo, hiding behind a pole stuff. So just being like, you know, giving me attention is the very basic thing.
You had like this that almost like motherly infatuation kind of thing with her a little bit.
Sure, but it's mainly from like anyone giving me attention.
Yeah.
And I think just I also thought she was pretty the time. So
that's wild to have that concept at 3 years old, or that memory at 3 years old. Well, I don't remember anything prior to like third grade.
And just, you know, when I was four, I'd walk around late at night, get out of bed, and see my mom or dad watching, you know, dramas that have that star straight relationships. Yeah. I'm like, I agree.
You see some boobs and be like, I've seen those before, but I like those ones a lot.
Yeah.
What were we talking about before we went off on this tangent?
The gaming stuff, indie gaming storytelling.
I said something about being gay or romancer.
You asked me about if
being straight.
Right.
I don't know.
Write in at home. What were we talking about?
Let us know. So you're...
Oh, we're talking about Girls, the show?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And
yes,
I think it was another thing where boys don't want to watch it if it's called Girls.
Yes. It's, well, for me, so I made a conscious effort, let's say like 5 or 6 years ago, to start consuming more queer and trans content in general, just from people like creators or YouTubers or television shows, because I have a handful of friends that are trans, but I would not say that I'm in like queer community proper.
Sure.
Because I've never, because of my identity and the way I look, I've never been like ostracized for my appearance.
Yeah.
So I'm queer. I identify as queer, but I don't have the lived experience of being put out because of it, because I'm a tall white dude with a big beard and a big voice. So
yeah.
Like, people are just like, oh yeah, lumberjack, whatever. So even though I would find some solidarity in those spaces, and I have by like dipping my toe in, I recognize that like my body and how I present, until I get more gay. I mean, I pierced my ears this year, so I'm almost there.
Mm.
I'm not, I kind of need some tattoos to really queer it up, but I dress very in a way that's still pretty like straight or masculine.
I would say things more, but then it would just be like,
you can gay bash me.
An outsider derogatory. Well, I just mean like also you should carry on a vape pen.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yes. Just fucking constantly ripping. I don't work in a bar, you know.
No, you don't.
So it's like I'm not in the industry, but I have a lot of friends that are, you know. So for me, it's like I had to find ways of exposing myself to that stuff so I could just be more understanding, you know. Yeah. Especially because I knew growing up in a very conservative, very white area of the country, and I never was very conservative in my beliefs, even as like a liberal when I was younger.
Yeah.
I definitely recognized that, like, oh, as I got exposed to more things in a good way, you know, like spending time over in Seattle in their gay district and seeing a man, men holding hands on the street for the first time in my life at like 24 years old, I was like, oh shit, I have like, 'cause if you had asked me at 15, like, I didn't have any problem with gay men whatsoever. I wasn't like, oh, that's, you know, that's weird, that's whatever. Yeah. But I had never seen it person. And then when I first saw it as like a guy in my mid-20s, I was like, holy shit, I'm sheltered. Because it still gave me that feeling of what? Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on? But just because I'd never been around it.
Yeah.
So I started consuming a lot more, you know, like the show Girls. I just started watching a lot more queer YouTube and shit. And that kind of, you know, got me woke enough to be able to be more comfortable around different people.
Yeah. I think, because I've obviously seen a bunch of, you know, stuff in fiction, but I think my first real gay people I met was a friend in early middle school's parents. Just someone had two dads. Mm-hmm. And they were both chill. One was a former military and then became like an eye doctor, and then the other one's an ear doctor. So super rich doctor parents, lived in a mansion. And their son was the most class clown destructive of our class.
Yeah. Well, it's really, I mean, I imagine even the time you were growing up, like, that was still like, what, the 2010s, like, or the aughts even?
Yeah, the aughts, really.
Love hadn't won yet. That was 2012 when Love won.
Yeah.
Like, if you just think back to the culture then, like, it was still don't say gay in the military and
stuff. Well, yeah,
like,
I remember 2008, there was an NBA playoff ad that was like, don't say gay to mean stupid.
Yeah. Well, there's that type of stuff. I was saying like the don't ask, don't tell policy of the military. But yes, using gay as a slur was still very, very common.
Oh, yeah.
And you essentially only had the equivalency of the NFL's end racism in the end zones being like, hey, guys. But like everyone was still like, yo, that's fucking gay. Which I'm glad Trump is back, so now we can say gay again. But you know, it's been. I was actually just having this talk last night with a gal who is very, you know, informed herself. But I used the term retarded depression with her, talking about an episode that I might have, you know, in the future, or episodes that I do have.
Yeah.
And she was like, "Oh, let's not use the R word." And I was like, "You should Google retarded depression." And she was like, "Oh, it's like an actual term describing, you know, a type of depression, you know, with like slow movement and speech and stuff." And, you know, I think a lot of people forget that it is a medical term on some level, or they just didn't know that in general. Not to say that like that excuses using it around people that don't enjoy that word.
Right.
Or the line for me, and I imagine this is a similar thing with other slurs and other communities, is if you are in community with people who have been bullied or harassed using those words and they don't find them comfortable, then you should respect that and not use those words.
Right.
But if you're surrounded by fellow retards that fucking love just getting retarded.
Getting gay
and retarded with the boys. Yeah. Like, let's get fucking gay and retarded and suck each other's dicks. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So that's where I lie with it. But it's definitely a thing of like, yeah, if your friends... Like, we have friends, I believe, who have, you know, been bullied using those words. And it's like, yeah, I don't really care for those. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to try to avoid using them with those people for sure. Because it's, you don't want to make people uncomfortable. That's part of the unwokeification of America that needs to happen. Because that's what liberal shit was like the thought police, like, you can't use these words anymore. Da, 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 da. It's like, the fact that you are offended by this thing that not only like describes me in a real sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, there was, Grink got banned from Twitter again.
He's got to come over to Blue Sky. We need more real posters on Blue Sky. The liberals will show up and destroy it if we don't get good posters over there.
And it was some, you know, liberal head that was like, you know, doing a gay joke about Trump and Vance and whatnot. And he quote treated it as like, yeah, make all the jokes you want, but you're pretty uncomfortable and do nothing to help real faggots.
And that got him banned?
And that got him banned.
For hate speech or something?
Yes, oh my God. For using that word.
Well, I mean, it's all just auto-flag nonsense, right?
But, yeah.
Yeah, what a fucking cesspool. Speaking of apps, I got on a Latino dating app this last week. And I got banned within 15 seconds. I've dipped my toe in before... I've used Black before, BLK. Are you familiar?
No.
I've gotten on there before, and I had some good success. I didn't go on any dates. No, I think I met one person off of there.
Was this the person that you almost had the wand sponsorship with? Was that on Black or no?
Maybe. I couldn't remember. But I did eventually get banned off Black, and I think it was just like mass reporting or something. But no, the Latino app got advertised to me, and you know I love my Latinas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it got advertised to me on Instagram, and I was like, oh, shit. And so I download it. It was called like Chippa or like Crispa, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell right away that I was in trouble because the app itself, the front end was very similar to like Hinge and or Tinder. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is definitely owned by them. And I am KOS in their systems, right?
Yeah.
If I use the apps, I can use Tinder if I use a Google voice number and I use only the browser.
Uh-huh.
I can do it on my phone, but I have to go through the browser because the app has something that has flagged either my telephone number or my phone itself.
Yeah, your SIM card or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what happened as I was setting up my account on Latinos. And I had to say, I said I was from the United States and other, because they list a bunch of Latin American countries or like Spanish speaking countries. So I was like, United States and other. And I was like, I'm off. Let's go find me some hot commie Latinas. And before I could, like, as I was setting it up, it like stopped working. And then I went to my email and it's like, you have been banned. And I was like, fuck. Yeah, very funny.
Any single Latinas? Mr. Dreams, listening.
I am single. In the time since we've last spent together, I was briefly dating a beautiful Latina woman. But she got mad at me because she felt I wasn't pursuing her enough because she would go out drinking every night and I wouldn't be her ride home from the bar.
Yeah.
And I was like, dog, like, that's not how this works.
Yeah, yeah.
If we coordinated something beforehand, cool. But also, like, I'm not doing that four nights a week. Like, yeah. what are we doing? Yeah, so she broke up with me one night when she was drunk via mess. Or we didn't actually like break up because we weren't like a partnership, but she definitely like just said like, I'm really mad, and I was like, okay. Like, talk to me when you're sober. Like, yeah. I don't, and then she never did, so whatever. But yeah, as far as gaming goes, World of Warcraft kind of wrapped up for me. Like, all my buddies kind of, you know, fell off of it or whatever, and then we just got busy. But I started playing Final Fantasy 16.
Okay.
Which is basically Game of Thrones meets Devil May Cry.
Okay.
Are you familiar with either of those properties?
Yeah.
So it's like an action game, but it's got all this, it's like these different warring kingdoms, which is like normal Final Fantasy stuff, but the way it's presented is very Game of Thronesy, where it's like, meanwhile, and then it goes to like another kingdom. See. So it's like different plot lines happening. Yeah. And then eventually they, you know, merge. And then also there's just giant summons, like elemental beings on the battlefield like smashing each other. So the story in that is great. The gameplay has gotten pretty boring just because it's like after the first dozen hours or so, you stop getting new powers.
Yeah,
you can upgrade your current ones, but you kind of stop getting new ones, and like that's one of the main drivers of action gaming, as well as the difficulty level. And it's just very easy, like you're just killing stuff. Like, I'm not having to think in combat at all, and there's no difficulty modifier really. So I'm trying to push through that because I'm trying to get to, I picked up the new Jedi, or it's not new, it's the new Jedi, like, Souls game that came out a year or two ago, Jedi Survivor or something.
Oh, okay.
I picked up, there's been some Steam sales recently. There's a new, the one I really want to play is the brand new JRPG, Clair Obscura Expedition 33.
What's that?
It's by some former Ubisoft devs. It's French as fuck, if you couldn't tell.
Yeah.
It's a new term. It's like French. It's not French Baroque, but there's an art style that they specifically evoke in this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredible visually. It's basically combining, it's from some former Ubisoft devs. I forget the name of the team, but it's like 30 people. And they basically made a Persona style, like, you know how stylish Persona is, how people love that?
Yeah.
And the music is incredible. They did that, but French.
Okay.
And it fucking rules. It's about, so the expeditions are because they live in a world where there's the Paintress, and basically it's just this evil entity that has just started showing up, and she paints a giant number, like on the horizon, and it started at 100, and basically the people of this society started dying at that age, and then she would show up the next year, 99, and then all the, so it's like, now it's all, and so they started sending out expeditions. So Expedition 90, Expedition 89, like on down as those ages went down.
Yeah.
So now we're all the way down to 33. So now everyone in this world dies at age 34. Huh. So now Expedition, okay, you're part of Expedition 33 to try and stop before the end of the year, basically. So that's like the setup.
Yeah.
So you're finding, like, I haven't played it yet myself. I just watched a few streams and it looks cool as fuck. You're basically finding, like, you know, the old diaries of old expeditions, what they know about the world.
Ooh, yeah, this is a Rebecca game.
It's fucking amazing, dude. Like, it's gonna win Game of the Year awards for sure. And it's just awesome because it's a small team. Like, they're selling it for like $50. Like, it's not like, you know, $80 premium, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they priced it reasonably because, you know, their development costs weren't that big, probably.
Yeah.
It's definitely been in development for like 5 or 6 years. I think it was first announced in like 2018 or something. But yeah, it's just a visually incredibly game. It's got the Super Mario RPG style, like dodge and like timing mechanics with combat, specifically when you're on defense. So you have an option to choose between dodging and parrying. Parrying obviously being a much tighter window.
Right.
So theoretically, you don't have to invest any of your upgrade stat points in like defense if you have good timing. Mm-hmm. And it also allows you to fight like much more difficult enemies way earlier on if you have good timing. Like, they might one or two shot you, but if you got your timing down, so it just seems like an incredible game for people that love that old style, like late 90s, early 2000s turn-based RPG mechanics that like have kind of gone away. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm really excited to dig into that, but I gotta fucking push through Final Fantasy because it's like a 40-hour game and I'm like 28 hours in, so I've been grinding on that. But, yeah, other than that, just trying to, like, you know, not move the chamber one closer on the revolver, you know, just trying to maintain good mental health and whatnot.
Yeah, I was going to say, these have been a powerful 2 weeks apart. Yeah, because I've never heard of...
A lot of new lore.
Yeah. Because the job and the Latina are both gone, and I didn't know they came.
Very quick. On that note, what do you say we take a little break? I turn the AC on and some incense and then we come back. Maybe we do an ad break.
Well, that was a sweet pitch, Gabe. Now it's heart of the matter time. Let's talk about real shit. For instance, here's some real shit about me. I once came to a crossroads in my life, just like you right now. I'm always coming to fucking crossroads, but I'm prepared. I bring my Knox. No biggie. Where are your Knox, Gabe? True story. I was once like you, then I grew a brain, a dick, and a heart.
Fuh. I can't even eat one fish titty because I had too many Stallone cuts on my third coffee break.
Do you even know what a Stallone cut is, little dog? It's a pile of ugly meat, veins of tangy mayo, and drawn tightly over it all is a thin skin of sweaty pinkish cheese.
That's what the profs eat, little dog.
Gabe, real situation. Lenny wants to pet your little bunnies, and he gets all crazy about it, and he just starts petting their little heads in. He doesn't know how strong he is, and you try to talk some sense into him, but he doesn't like it, and he gets crazy mad. What do you do, little dog?
More tea, Crystal.
True story. I woke up vibrating one day. Turns out I was in a sharper image. Turns out I had a heart on. Turns out no one cared.
We all have to overcome shit, Gabe. I have to overcome my fear of warm fur coats and martial arts.
My top hated things are 1, martial arts, all kinds, and 2, breath, all kinds.
But we deal with that shit.
And you got to deal with the shit in order to be the shit. I don't know, little dog. Maybe we all better start loving and learning martial arts. Because after the bombs drop, and it's us against us, and we all wish with our terrible-smelling last breaths that we had those warm fur coats, and we're all going around hissing and kicking at each other and trying to trap rabbits so we can crack their heads, just like all the Lennies used to do that we used to protect them from. I mean, who's gonna survive that shit, Gabe?
Ugh, I'll tell you who survives. the TA that remembers to bring our knocks to the crossroads. Makes sense. To me, to us, at least. Right?
So, I went to a party in Santa Cruz on Saturday, and it was all very nice people who pretty much, I'd say it was half autism, half queer across the board, and we were playing some sort of variation of Mafia. And there's a point where I was accusing someone of being whatever bad that needed to die. And I mispronounced them. And I've never met like all of these people before.
Yeah.
Except for the host. And they were
I'm just going to assume it was a she, her.
Yes, that needed I wanted to go by they, them.
Oh, that's actually I was thinking it was a trans woman and you fucked up and said a he, him. You didn't do it. I will let you finish the story. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's about it. I did it fucking right there. They introduced themselves as Mickey, they, them.
Right. Oh, so they said their pronouns.
Yeah, up top.
But they expect neurodivergent people to somehow memorize not only your fucking name, but your pronouns on first meet. It's like, come on.
And what's funny is Talon lost one game because someone else who has ADHD didn't know their name and thought they were someone else.
Yeah. Their name's Talon?
No, it was Mickey, and the person that with ADHD was Dakota.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds gay. That sounds like a gay ass time in the cool way, though.
Yeah. And we did a big talk during the pizza break of like socialism stuff, and you know them wanting to talk about like you know they were not like afraid of Trump, but like just kind of you know a general talk with strangers of how shit things are for people with you know who want to go into teaching or people who need help from the government.
Yeah.
Because these are also people all slightly older than me as well.
There is a real fear, and I understand this fear. By the way, welcome back. Pussy eaters, we've hydrated, we've stretched, you should do the same.
Yeah.
I got banned from a couple of forums during the run-up to the inauguration because I was telling queer folks, like, you need to be in community more than just, like, to feel, like, radical community for, like, community defense. Because there is no... I think a lot of the fear of Trump for folks is because they are not militant minded, which I get, not everyone's going to be, but a lot of queer people, even people that would call themselves quote unquote leftists, are still believing in the Democratic Party to save them. And it's not, that's very clearly not going to happen. And
right. That was one thing I was like, listen to the podcast. Democrats are not here to help you.
Yeah. So that's where a lot of that fear comes from. Cause
protesting, it doesn't mean shit unless someone gets hurt.
Right. Exactly. Or a business. It doesn't have to be personal. Something's got to get fucked up.
Well, there are some businesses that are also getting fucked up for no reason thanks to these parades, as you mentioned last time.
Yeah. I don't know if there's been any more news on the 50-51 front. I haven't seen anything big.
I haven't either. I know there have been a couple things where I've thought, like, in passing, like, oh, this could be maybe a pod discussion thing, but I've been going off of Twitter. Because I don't want to avoid playoff stuff, because I always watch the playoff stuff.
You don't want to get spoiled.
Yes, I watch it all the next morning.
Smart. I've been doing the same with wrestling.
Yeah.
Dude, because this is the new season, right? So I've been watching. Basically, if I'm not watching the night of Raw or SmackDown, I'm watching the next day.
Right.
Because I need to stay. I've one Instagram account where I follow most of my wrestling stuff.
Yeah.
And it shows up, like, algorithmically wise on, like, Threads.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to, like, consciously avoid those so I don't get spoiled on some things.
But you watched the first Raw after Mania, right?
I did.
So my thoughts with Fox were, this was better than Night 2, which is, I think, good.
Some of the matches were, yeah, was that...
I just think where the stories are was better than the ending of Night 2.
Yeah, I mean, well, the John Cena stuff did fall flat, and I think this is well-worn territory for anyone that actually cares about wrestling, so I don't think...
We're in the second half of the episode.
Yeah. Listen, you've already turned this off.
You stuck around for whatever I edited right before we came back, and then you left.
Night 2 was great, actually. The only real issue, and everyone's talked about it, is the end. The main event fell flat. If you want to retcon and say, oh, well, this is what John Cena meant when he says, I'm going to ruin wrestling for you by giving you a boring-ass match with double overhead axe handles and, like, some shitty Travis Scott.
the
finish.
Thing that bothered me, it was specifically the Travis Scott part of it, whereas him doing it slow, and that I thought was very good at him being a heel.
Sure.
All of the stuff that John Cena did with his entrance being no colors. And
yes,
all, that
was sick as
that
fuck.
Was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just literally just, we're planning up to this final ending, and you're just going to have Travis Scott not even touch Cody Rhodes, just kind of get up on the ropes.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
It was really bad. And I can't imagine that was the initial plan. I feel like that's probably something that ended up happening because Rock wasn't available.
Right. Yeah. We were all expecting, like, basically Fox and I were watching like, all right, and Rock's going to show up and get beat up by Stone Cold.
It's very obvious to anyone that has any sense of storytelling. Like, he was supposed to be there and he wasn't. And it's just, it is what it is. Obviously they can't say like, oh, he can make it. Cause that makes it seem bad. It's like, no, we're geniuses. That's the shitty part about WWE in particular. Yeah. They have to pretend like they're like fucking geniuses all the time. And it's like, no, sometimes shit just doesn't work out. And like, it would be cooler if you were a little more honest with your audience about that. But
and just what fucking stupid is, the two maybe most iconic people for me are Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold. And they're relegated to, and the attendance today.
I mean, that's because we're old. That's what those guys are there for.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like
they're not going to wrestle.
No. I'm not asking them to wrestle. Oh. I think it would tarnish them if they wrestled. I'm just saying, do something more to the for the show than do the suit and tie.
That's just a holdover from 40 years of McMahon,
right? And that could be just another thing Alicia Taylor does as the ring announcer.
Yeah, it also doesn't need to be on TV,
right?
Like, it's just lame. Like, it doesn't serve any. You're advertising yourself. It's like, I'm already watching your product. You don't need to tell me how popular it is.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's, I don't know, that the attendance stuff has always been lame. I mean, it makes sense when Cole mentions it, like 12,000 sold out crowd here tonight, Monday Night Raw in Kansas City. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. Of course it is. But like, to take 10 minutes out of the show to say we've made the most money ever. I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
Here's the attendance segment.
Yeah. Like, it's cringe and they need to get rid of it. Yeah. But no, I enjoyed all of Mania weekend. That was the great part about being, because that was right after I came home from visiting my folks. So even though I was sick, I was just in wrestle retard mode for 72 hours. I watched all of night one that Saturday when I came back. I watched night two live. And then, Raw on Monday. I'm even kind of dipping in back into NXT a little bit because they're doing a lot of. There was actually a great match last night as well that I need to watch, but NXT is doing a great job. I think. Oh, yeah. Liv and Raquel wrestled three fucking nights in a row. They had the Sunday main event. Then they took the titles back on Monday.
Yeah.
And then they went and defended them against, I think it was Roxanne and Julia, maybe, on NXT on Tuesday. They wrestled for fucking three. I was like, damn, they're fucking grinding. And then Liv just announced this week that she's taking time off to do a movie. And I was like, oh, that's why.
Get them all in.
They were like, hey, we're going to push you a little bit. So I don't know if they're going to drop the belts or what's going on with that, but I would hope, because like, it would be kind of like maybe Raquel will find a character, which would be cool.
Well, I'm hoping it's, I don't know. I feel like it's leading up to more likely it would be Liv betraying Raquel.
Yeah.
But it'd be interesting, probably more so if Raquel is like, no, I'm super heel and like beats up Liv in hospital.
I would rather have Raquel as a heel for sure. Because I don't think she's just gotten to be an enforcer the whole time.
Right.
In fact, like I didn't realize it until just a week before Mania, but like the fact that they come out to Liv's music and Liv, it just says Liv Morgan.
Yeah.
Like the Titantron. It doesn't even say Raquel. I was like, that really sucks. Like it should be Judgment Day, if anything. So I hope she gets some sort of a push. But yeah, I've been all in on the wrestling stuff. I love the new Seth Rollins angle that they got with
me too.
With Bron Breakker as the enforcer. I think that's really fucking cool.
Yeah, I love Seth with backup. That was the last thing that was keeping me in it as a kid.
Yeah.
With Seth and J&J.
And I do think Seth is still not only on the mic, he's fantastic. His ring attire is great. He has he's the whole package. And there's very few people currently wrestling at that level that are the entire package.
Yes.
In the way that, as far as a heel goes, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we had like Roman Reigns, but he's a Paul Heyman guy, so he can't talk. CM Punk is the only Paul Heyman guy that's ever been able to talk, right? Like the reason why Paul Heyman teams up with people is so he does the promos.
Yes.
So when Heyman was with Roman, it was Heyman, like Roman didn't do the promos, right? He just wrestled and his wrestling was whatever. Lesnar was incredible, of course, but like he also, I mean, he was able to cut promos for sure because he had a good sense of humor and he was just a big weirdo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was also a different time in wrestling. Like, he was kind of the only guy for a while, from my understanding. But
he was the next best thing for real, for real.
Yeah. I mean, I've gone back and watched a lot of those matches and stuff. But, yeah, the stuff with Seth Rollins and Paul Heyman I think is really great. And what else is going on in there? I love...
Orton Cena.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. So Orton, like, bringing that back for Backlash is going to be really cool. Orton's definitely losing, of course. I don't think he's winning the belt at Backlash.
No.
I think Cena will have it for most of 2025, if not all of 2025, before he finally leaves.
Yeah. Do you think he... I feel like he actually drops it before Ruthless Aggression, which is his last match.
When is... That's
in December.
Is that a PLE? Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, you're calling it PLE?
I've adapted.
You've converted?
I mean...
They've adapted.
You gotta get with the times.
It's a pay-per-view.
It's not a pay-per-view. We don't have to pay for it.
I mean, you do, kind of.
It's a streaming event, yeah.
You have to pay for the streaming service.
Yeah. Dude, it's nice having... I actually have a... So I have a one wrestling website that just archives all of the... That does a bunch of illegal stream hosting and archives all of it so you can go back and watch the next day. Because, like, SmackDown airs on, like, USA in the States.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where do you even stream that if you wanted to watch it live? What is USA Network? Is that its own thing, or do you have any idea?
I don't know what the streaming is.
It's not on Peacock. The Peacock stuff ended in like May or February.
Well, because SmackDown, I thought like even a couple years ago was Fox.
It was, but it's not anymore.
Yeah.
It's on USA Network. I don't know where you watch that besides actual television.
Actual cable, yeah.
So I always have to illegally stream that, but yeah, there's actually another website I happened upon that is like a community chat room, and it's a single stream, and like during the commercial breaks they play like different bits and YouTube videos and stuff. How do I describe it? It's basically Gary's Mod type stuff.
Okay.
With a bunch of male wrestlers in the nude fucking and sucking each other's brains out.
Okay.
It's incredible. It's really fucking good. John Cena's getting double teamed by like Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. And it goes for like 40 seconds and they throw it on like once or twice an episode and everybody in the chat just loses their fucking minds. They're just like, yeah, because they have like a lot of built in GIFs and stuff. I'll have to show you this, this chat. So that's really fun to watch different stuff with if I can watch live. But yeah, if you are a fan of soap operas, now is one of the best times to be into wrestling. They've kept hyping it up over the last year or so of like WWE does suck their own dick a lot, but they truly have been honest where they've been saying like it's never been better time to watch wrestling, like as far as if as a fan.
Well, yeah, it's, and I think one reason for that with the wrestlers themselves is just everyone can wrestle for the most part now. Like, you know, I shit on Roman Reigns, but a lot of that is probably just the era he's in his competition, whereas Roman Reigns would be a super dynamic wrestler in the late 80s.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas everyone could wrestle now, just like in basketball, the playoffs are really good and basketball is a great product because everyone could play a lot better than people beforehand could.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem now is NBA is way worse at promoting itself, unlike WWE, which is very great at sucking itself off.
That's the whole game.
Let the games begin.
What is, did you see, speaking of basketball, did you see Shaq is going to be the general manager of Sac State?
No, well, yeah, and I saw...
Basketball program?
A high draft prospect, Mikey Williams, is now a Sac State basketball player.
Oh, really? Is that why Shaq's showing up for some reason?
And Mike Bibby, a former NBA player in Sacramento King, is now the coach at Sac State.
Speaking of Bibby, I saw a picture of him the other day. He's definitely on some HGT or something.
Yeah.
Or HGH, rather.
Yeah.
Boy is fucking yoked. And he's in his 50s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we have to go start going to some Sac State games.
So, one thing I also saw, and one reason... So, Sac State, tiny thing, their tuition like rate going into next year is 34% increase.
Makes sense.
And they're shutting down a couple of, like, the... Like, a counseling department.
Yeah.
To make room... For, like, a UFC or MMA arena.
Times, they are a-changing. Yeah, the idea of meritocracy and getting an education to better your life, like, that shit's going out the window. It's going back to just, like, places for the rich and wealthy to send their kids when they're 18 years old so they can pretend like they're educated. Thankfully, in California, you get like the free tuition or stuff. It's like the California Promise thing from a few years back. So I'm hoping, hopefully, that doesn't go away anytime soon. I'm basically, my plan is just to keep getting a bunch of associate's degrees as long as possible. That's the hustle my brother's got going up in Washington State. Mm-hmm. And we've been yapping a lot about it recently. And he's like, dude, you can get like $3,000 every like 3 months for free.
Yeah.
And then if you want to take some loans, fuck it. Like, who cares? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I'm at too, where it's like, I mean, him and I have the benefit of, we will be able to pay them off with our parents' money, you know, yeah, when they pass. But there is an aspect of, you know, this whole thing's going under. We're already completely enraptured by the system, like taking on more debt, quote unquote, to be able to survive during these years and educate yourself and possibly, you know, make a better life or build community. If the state is going to fund that now, we should probably take advantage of it,
yeah,
before those funds no longer exist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that will definitely be a thing where, like, I don't know, there will always be predatory loans for sure. Even when the banks are burning, they'll be like, would you like to extend? But I think that is something that is going to kind of go away as well. Where if, like, if you don't have this is like a decade or so, this isn't anytime soon, but like, there definitely will come a time in our lifetimes where in order to go to college, you have to have cash in hand.
Yeah.
Like, there will not be Pell Grants anymore. You know, I think some of that stuff's already getting canceled and stuff too, but yeah.
Yeah. Even when, by the time I was going to college, it's really just, do you know a guy?
Yeah.
Or do you know a girl who's in with a guy?
Yeah. Fuck, man. Well, we're almost at an hour. Is there anything else we should yap about, or should we figure out something to close with? Or
no, I just feel fat and I'm done with Sac State. That's where I'm at.
Congratulations.
Yeah, May, I think 16th is my last work day for them.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to have a big family coming together thing at a restaurant in Davis on Memorial Day.
Okay.
And it'll be like the most of my family coming together since I graduated high school.
Yeah, that's very cool. We'll have to plan something. Maybe I reach out to Rebecca if you don't want to plan it yourself, but hopefully she's planning something too for your friends to come celebrate you or whatever. That would be sick.
The secret set truth is I don't have any friends.
Well, Fox and I will come Fox over, and, you, and we will let
watch you, wrestling or something.
We will watch some wrestling, and we will let you once again destroy us in Mario Party to celebrate your special day.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I've just been kind of focusing on getting healthy and staying healthy and finding ways of, you know, paying bills and stuff.
Oh, one thing. So since I told our boss that I'm going to be very loose in the summer,
yeah.
I want to see if there will be another one. There was a flash sale yesterday of Giants tickets.
Oh, shit.
Of like $5.
Yeah.
And
I'm
I'll see if that's still up. Otherwise, because our friend that we mentioned, Jacob, told me about it.
Yeah.
So I immediately got those, and that's now my mom's birthday present, is taking her to a Giants game.
Oh, fuck yeah. I have a hookup on A's tickets for this summer on Tuesdays.
Okay.
So whenever they're in town on Tuesdays, I can typically get the tickets.
Okay.
You just gotta let me know.
Yeah.
They have two games on Tuesday in May, so I'm probably going to have tickets for both of those. I think it's the Mariners first in the second week of May, and then the Angels in like the third or fourth week.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's about everything I had to get off my chest for these last 2 weeks.
All right. We'll definitely be back next week, unless one of us, you know.
Yeah, no,
blows our fucking brains out. I don't fucking know.
Could happen.
Who knows, dude? Fucking RFK is gonna show up at the door and be like, ah. Dude, that was sick about losing my voice though, is I had a really good RFK.
I can't tell you how bad it is for the autistic children. Some of them will never fuck. It's terrible. It's a tragedy.
From senators, congressmen, till next time, please procedures. Heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, And don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changin'.